Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right, so it's been like about a week since Christmas break began, right? Like family gatherings, trips, putting together gifts that you bought or were given to you over the holidays, all of that. Here's the question. Has anybody's patience been tested yet? Yes, if you haven't raised your hand, you're lying, right? Yeah, it's like okay, the routines are thrown off and there's things to do and places to go and traffic and all those things. And we get impatient with a lot of stuff, right? We get impatient with the day. You get impatient with traffic. Some of us are impatient with our careers. Not going as fast as we want them to. Some of us are impatient with our spouses or our kids or family members, friends, whoever it is. Some of us, we're even impatient with ourselves, right? Thinking I should be further along in my life by now than I am. Why do we get so impatient? Why is it that we're in such a rush and we're in such a hurry? I think part of the reason is that you and I tend to view our lives as a sprint. As fast as we can, as quickly as we can, cover the most amount of distance. And when I look at the Bible and I think about the character of God, I think God doesn't view life as a sprint, but he sees it as a marathon. Right? He sees the end goal, the long-term process. We tend to focus on the short term. We tend to think about ways to get quick rewards and returns. God is looking ahead to the end. God is thinking about where he is drawing all of time and space. Now, he is presently active in what's going on in our lives today. It's not that he's so focused on the end that he's uncaring about what's happening in our lives, but he's got a different perspective. You know, and for some of us, we are 3 days away from the beginning of a new year. And there's some of you in here, there's some joining online, you are like looking forward to the start of 2026 because you're going fresh start, new year. 2025, that can be put to bed and move on. I don't ever want to go there. That was a tough year. That was a challenging year. It was a heartache year. All those things. 2026, best year yet. Maybe. But maybe not. See, right? Like, just if we can be transparent, actually, could it be possible that 2026 actually has awaiting for you some of the deepest challenges you've ever faced, and you have no clue what's coming? Could it be that 2026 actually has deep, deep heartache? And so now you're going, this might be the worst opening to a message. I am not encouraged at all, right? This is horrible. But the reason I bring that forward is this, it's how do we make it through this stuff? Because I think so many times we have this really, really optimistic view of the future, and that's fine, but I think it's helpful to have a realistic view of the future, to know that it's likely that challenges are coming, that heartaches are going to happen, because how do we handle that? Because I don't think we make it through by being more impatient, by rushing, by forcing, by manipulating, by trying to control. Actually, I think we can walk through that by discovering the power and the joy of patience, and how actually God can lead us in that way. And so today, that's what we're going to be talking about. As Heidi mentioned, if you brought a Bible, open up to Luke chapter 3 is where we're going to be spending time today. While you're going there, I want to welcome you as well. My name's Fritz, one of the pastors here. So glad all of you are here today. And then those of you who are joining at Lighthouse Online, thanks for being with us today. You might head over to lighthousecommunity.online.church. That's where all of the goodies are at. Sign in there, be a part of the conversation, and get all the resources at that place. You can head there now. Each weekend, this is something we do, Lighthouse family. We just welcome all of our guests and everybody online. I wonder if we could do that right now, is let our guests know that we're so grateful that you're here this morning and you're with us. Thank you so much. Means the world. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 23. Some of you are looking at this going, wait a second. This is what we're studying this morning. This is usually the section of scripture that I skip over and I count that I read it, right? Because I looked at two names and moved on. We're looking at the genealogy of Jesus. Are you not excited, right? Hey, you're going to find out how powerful and meaningful this is. And actually, we're going to read through this. I'm going to read it. You're going to follow along. So if your patience hasn't been tested yet, get ready. All right, we're going to start in verse 23. Here's what it says. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthias, the son of Saman, the son of Josic, the son of Joda, the son of Jonan, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel. Aren't you glad you're not reading these out loud right now? The son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meli, the son of Menah, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz. Some of you guys are going, my patience is being tested now. It wasn't before, but it is now. The son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, I feel you, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. You did it. We all did it together. Now, why did we read that? Every word is the inspired word of God in the scriptures. I know sometimes reading through the genealogies or things like this or the numbers of the population in the Old Testament, we kind of go, what's the point? What's the reasoning? Sometimes it's hard to see that. But I want you to know that every word in the scripture is inspired by God, and it's there for a reason, right? I think one of the reasons is God is telling us, as you read that, you can grow in patience, right, as you're working through that. But there's a lot here, and we are going to talk about this idea, this understanding of patience, because I want to show you, number one, that you and I can grow in patience, but number two, I want to talk about two ways that we can become more patient. And here's the first way. I can be patient with God because God is patient, right? I don't know if you've ever thought about that, of actually being patient with God. And the reason that we can be patient with God is because that God is patient himself. The reason I say that is we just read here in Luke chapter 3. What Luke was doing was he was showing the lineage of Jesus. Now, he kind of goes in a different direction. He started with Jesus and worked his way backwards. Most lineages start with the first person and then work their way forward. Luke chose to do, the Holy Spirit led him to do that in the opposite direction. He's doing a couple of things here with this genealogy. Number one, Luke is showing us the ancestry of Jesus. And he's doing a couple of things in that. Is he showing us, number one, that Jesus is in the line of David, which means he is the long-awaited promised Messiah from the Old Testament scriptures. But he's also showing these stories, and he's actually bringing all of these names back to Adam, which goes back to God. And so, in a way, what Luke is saying is that Jesus stands with humanity as one of us. Yes, he is God. He is 100% God. And he is also 100% human. And he stands with us as people, tracing all the way back to the beginning of humanity, which is God himself. That's one of the first things that Luke is showing in the genealogy. But the other thing that Luke is showing in the genealogy is God's patience with the world. He's showing God's patience with the world. Because when you go back through and you see all of these names, some of them begin to jump out to you and begin to go, oh yeah, I've read about him. I remember that time period. And what you begin to see is that God has this really clear track record of patience throughout history. And as I was reading these names of the genealogy, my brain just likes to bring forward patterns. And so one of the patterns that I saw here was I began to kind of break the genealogy into periods of time. By the way, from Adam to the birth of Jesus is about 4,000 years, okay? So Luke is summing up 4,000 years of history in just a couple of verses. But when I was thinking about these periods, I kind of saw four periods. You have the startup period. You have the shaping period. You have the scattering period, and then the silent period. I'm going to unpack each of these here for you in just a moment. So the startup period, this is when God began creation, right? He creates the universe, creates the world. He creates Adam and Eve. And then history begins to move forward from there. We know early on that Adam and Eve chose rebellion against God. Sin entered into the world, and that's where the whole thing really went to pot. But in the startup period, God is getting things going, getting his creation going. And one of the names that Luke brings forward is the name Abraham. And so you have from Adam to about Abraham, you have this startup period going on. And in Abraham, if you've never read the account of Abraham, God made a promise to him saying, from you, I'm going to create this great nation. It'll be so big, it'll be so vast, you won't be able to number them all. It'll be like sand on the seashore. It'll be like stars in the sky. If you can count them, then you'll be able to count all of your kingdom. And Abraham's, that's great. I don't even have one kid, right? Like, how is that going to happen? And so God promises, I'm going to give you a son. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and there's no son. And so Abraham's wife, Sarah, comes up with a plan. Let's help God, because God isn't doing what he said he would do. So let's help him. And so Sarah says, here, take my handmaiden, Hagar, and you can start your family line with her. Bad plan, okay? We don't even need to go deep into that account to realize that this is not going to end well. But let's just say this. Actually, the ramification of Sarah and Abraham following through with their own plan instead of trusting God's, we still feel that today, right? From that, right? Like 3,000 years ago, we're still feeling that moment. And it became a whole mess. When you look at the story of Abraham, and there's so much more in his life and his account and all the other names between Adam and Abraham, it becomes really clear is that we can be patient with God because God is working a whole plan, not just your portion. It's really easy for me to get focused on what I'm doing, what I've got going on, what I'm waiting on, what I thought was going to happen by now, and I try to start pushing, then I try to start forcing that forward. You have to understand God has a view of the entire plan, and you are a part of that. God ends up fulfilling his promise through Abraham and Sarah, giving them a son, Isaac, right? But it was on his timeline. It was on his plan, not Abraham and Sarah's plan. Luke goes on to continue going through names, and you have this period from Abraham to David, which I would call the shaping period. And so this is the period where God sets Israel free from slavery out of Egypt. And when he does that, they end up wandering through the desert for 40 years. And for 40 years, you have this group of people who saw the plagues, who saw the crossing of were a part of the crossing of the Red Sea. They had the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They witnessed all of these amazing miracles, and yet they're consistently complaining and grumbling against God. You know, it was kind of better when we were in Egypt. You know, at least we had spices. At least we had this other stuff, you know? And so this whole time they're grumbling and they're complaining as they're wandering through the wilderness, wondering if they can go back. And all the while long, God is being patient with them. There's a couple moments where he goes, you know, I could destroy you right now. And no one would know and no one would remember, but I'm not going to do that because I'm patient. And he's guiding them and he's providing for them, right? If you know the story, their robes never wore out. Their sandals never wore out. He provides manna from heaven, quail, water, everything they need, showing his grace during that time period. And one of the things that becomes really evident in that shaping period is that humanity doesn't have what it takes to walk in righteousness with God on their own, right? That we can literally have everything that we need, and yet our hearts are wandering. Our hearts, there's this sin virus inside of us that leads us to rebellion and to opposition. And so we literally don't have what it takes within us to walk and live in righteousness. But we see God's patience in that shaping period. Then you see another group of names from David to Zerubbabel, which I'm calling the scattering period. It's during this time period where the nation of Israel split into two kingdoms. They continue doubling down in their rebelliousness and their sin, and it gets to such a height that as punishment for their sin, God allowed Israel to be divided, to be conquered, and then to be exiled into other nations like Assyria and like Babylon. And so it seems like in this moment you have the destruction and the finality of the nation of Israel, but that's not really the case. See, there's a prophet by the name of Jeremiah who ends up sharing a word of hope with Israel. Now, a lot of people like to quote Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, right? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? I have plans to give you peace and not disaster, so on and so forth. They know that verse, but they tend to overlook the verse that's literally right before it, which says this. This is what the Lord says. When Babylon's 70 years are over, I'll come to you. I'll keep my promise to you and bring you back to this place. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster, plans to give you a future filled with hope. God had plans of hope for Israel, but there was a 70-year waiting period before they would get to it. Right? God was being patient with them. And he was asking them to be patient as well during these scattering years. He does ultimately end up bringing them back together in the nation of Israel. And then you see these next group of names, which is basically from Zerubbabel to Jesus. And we don't know a lot of those names. We don't have records of them in the scripture. But one of the things that's unique about this last period is I would call it the silent period. That this was that period of about 500 years when God was simply not speaking through the prophets, and there was silence. So there's like 500 years between Malachi and the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it appears that God is silent and he's not speaking through his prophets. But what he was doing was essentially preparing the world for the arrival of his son, Jesus Christ, during that time period. Right? And so what seems like silence, or what appears as silence, doesn't mean inactivity, right? And so what Luke is doing is he's exposing this 4,000-year period from the beginning of mankind to when Jesus was born, displaying the work of God and ultimately the patience of God with lots of people, some people who walked with him really well, some people who kind of walked with him, some people who were in opposition to what he was doing. And the whole time, God was completely patient. And the question that I have is this: how in the world can God be that patient? Well, there's a couple reasons why God is so patient. First one's found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says this: but don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Time doesn't register for God the way that it does for us. He sees things from a whole nother perspective. And what seems like years and decades and even centuries is a blip on the radar for God, which gives him the ability to be so patient. Another reason is found in Luke chapter 1. In fact, it's when the angel comes and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And in fact, let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 37 out loud together, starting with "for no word." Are you ready? Go. "For no word from God will ever fail." If you know your plans are never going to fail, it gives you the ability to be pretty patient. Because usually we get anxious when things aren't going our way. I don't think this is going to play out the way that I thought it was going to play out. I'm not sure that this is going the direction that I had hoped. God never worries about that, because his plans never fail, which allow him to be patient, to wait it out, right? To know how these things are playing out, and in fact, to know that this is a part of his plan. He never fails, so he can be patient. But here's a third reason why God is patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patience. And so patience is a display of God's love to you and to me. The fact that he is patient, he is displaying his care and his love. It's one of the ways. And so God is so patient because he has a different perspective. He knows his plans never fail. And this is one of the forms of love that he shows to you and to me. He is so patient in and of himself. And so what that does is that invites you and me to be patient with God. And that's a struggle. And that's a challenge. Because in our culture, we don't have to be patient. Because you can order something in the morning and it'll show up at your doorstep in the afternoon. I don't have to wait for movies to come out in the theater. I can watch them at home right now. I don't have to write a letter, make sure it sends to you, gets lost by the postal service. Sorry if you work for the postal service. And then wait for you to send back to me. I can just call you. Or better, text and ghost you and all, right? Right? Everything happens now. We live in such an immediate culture, we don't understand patience. But you have to understand that for some of us, you're in a season right now that you relate with some of the people that we read about in Luke. You're in a startup season. You're in a season of shaping. You're in what feels like a scattering time for your life. Others of you feel like you're in a season where God is just being silent for you right now. And the temptation is to force things forward, to come up with a different plan, to help God out. And I want to tell you, resist that temptation. Resist trying to help God. Resist trying to rush God what he's doing. And what I mean by that is some of us want the blessings now, and so we misuse debt to enjoy blessings today that God actually doesn't have for us right now. Some of us rush God by settling for the right now person who's in front of us instead of the right person who God is preparing and shaping for us. Some of us are choosing to go, I think I can make my kids, I can make my family, I can make my friends do things by manipulating, controlling them, shaming them, guilting them. That is a form of control that's played out from impatience. And so resist trying to trust God. It always just ends up in a mess. Instead, trust God's process. He has a process. Listen, some things are immediate. Some things God does like right now. Do you realize that the moment that you say yes to Jesus by faith, in that moment, you are immediately forgiven. You are immediately made new. You are immediately raised to new life. You immediately have the hope of heaven forever. All of those things happen right now. The Bible calls that justification. Right? It's just as if I've never sinned, and God makes me new, and I'm forgiven, and I'm adopted, and all of those things are true right now. And then some things, God has a process that takes time, like being made into the character of Jesus Christ, right? Developing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Some of that stuff takes time. This was the challenge for Adam and Eve, right? They were created in the image of God. And so God desired for them to be like him. That's why he made them that way. And what was the temptation of the serpent? Hey, do you realize if you eat this fruit, you can be like God, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Right? He offers them the thing that they want without the person that they're supposed to do it with. Right? And so sometimes we can get so focused on the end, the destination, we forget that a lot of it, the point is the journey, is walking with God in the cool of the day in the garden. That's God's desire, not just to get to the finish line, but it's actually to walk with him, to hold his hand day by day, to experience his character and his goodness. And so trust God's process. And I would say this, if you're in a season where it seems like God is silent, stay close. If it seems like God's not talking to you, if you feel like you're in one of the hardest seasons ever, and you're wondering, like, God, where are you? Stay close. Keep reading the scriptures. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. Stay close to him, because silence isn't the same thing as absence. Silence isn't the same thing as inactivity. There were 500 years of silence before one of the greatest moments in all of history. Do you realize that our entire calendar hinges on the birth of Jesus Christ? Right? Everything beforehand is known as BC, before Christ. And everything afterwards is AD, which in Latin means the year of our Lord. It all hinges on that. And so there was 500 years of silence leading up to that. And so I bring this forward, is that you and I can be patient with God because God is patient. That's who he is. That's his character, and we're made in his image. Here's the second way that we can grow in patience, is that I can be patient with others because God is patient with me. I can be patient with others because God is patient with me. Now, the last couple of weeks, I was running some errands. I was doing some stuff to get ready for the house and then picking up a couple of gifts. One of the things in particular, my wife asked for this specific makeup. And I do a lot of shopping in the makeup department, right? And so I'm in the store. I had to be directed to where the makeup is kept. Then once I got there, this is like a library. Do you like know this? There's like a Dewey Decimal System of like makeup, and I don't understand it. So I'm in there wandering, totally helpless, and I see a woman and her daughter, and I'm just like, they can see how helpless I am. I have this on my phone, and I go, I know you don't work here. Can you help me find this? And she's like, oh yeah, there's a whole section right over there. And then she like pats me on the head and sends me on my way, right? You poor, poor little man, right? And so I was like frustrated with that. Then I'm driving home. I'm hitting every single red light on Tiffin and Main Street and all of them. It's just, and then I'm getting behind the slowest people in the world, right? And I can just feel, maybe some of you. But I'm just feeling my impatience rise and rise and rise. And I'm like, ugh. And it was in that moment that I needed to be reminded that God has always been patient with me. And if he's been patient with me, then I can be patient with other people, right? That what I've received, I can give. Do you see all the ways that God has been patient with you? Look at 2 Peter. We already looked at this the verse right before it, but let's look at the verse after it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Check this out. It says, the Lord isn't slow to do what he promises, some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change the way they think and they act. And so God is patient. Listen, he's not slow. He's not off doing something else more interesting. God is patient with you. He wants you to be with him. He doesn't want you to be separated from him in hell. He wants you to be with him in heaven. And so he's being patient with you. He's giving you time to understand and encounter the good news of Jesus Christ, to know what the truth is, to let the Spirit do his work in your heart, and then to come to a place to make a decision to trust him. That's what that last line is saying, that you change the way that you think and that you act. That's repentance, right? Which is faith. And so God is patient, but there is a warning. Because God is patient, but there is a moment when the time runs out, right? The time runs out when your life ends in this world. The time runs out when Jesus comes back the second time. And then there's no more time. This is one of the reasons why 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, that today is the day of salvation, right? If your plan is like, hey, I'm going to wait until I'm like 75 years old or 80 or maybe even 90 and I've lived a long, good life doing whatever I want to do, then I'm going to put my faith in Jesus because, you know, and then I'll just, you know, die peacefully in my sleep. Like, if that's your plan, that's a very risky plan. I don't think that's a very good plan. Not only that, you're not really living life to the fullest now. You're actually missing out on the joy of walking with Jesus today, because eternal life starts today. It doesn't just start when you get to heaven. It starts the moment that you say yes to Jesus Christ. And so God is patient because he wants you to be with him. And one of the most ultimate displays of God's patience and his love toward us is through Jesus' death on the cross. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. If you've never memorized this, I would encourage you. Great passages to memorize. It says this. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That Jesus died in your place, right? So that you could be made right with God. I want you to think about the patience of Jesus, because Paul brings us forward in this passage. Think about the patience of Jesus. Jesus waited patiently from eternity before creation, right, to enter into the world, right? Because Jesus has always existed. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity has existed before creation. And God knew that Jesus would be the solution to our sin before the creation of the world. That's what Ephesians 1 says. And so Jesus patiently waited from before creation to enter into the world. And then there's this announcement from an angel. Hey, Mary, you're going to carry the Son of God and give birth to him. So guess what? Now Jesus waits patiently for 9 months in Mary's womb. Could you imagine being God waiting for 9 months? You don't even have like a deck of cards in there, right? Like, there's like, it's just, you're just there. You're just present. You're like, this is the God who created all of this that we understand. And he's going through the same process that we are. And then Luke makes mention in Luke chapter 3, verse 23 is the first thing we read, that Jesus waited patiently for 30 years after he was born before he started his ministry. And then he began to do that. And then he waited 3 years of ministry before he went to the cross. And then he was hung on the cross, and he waited patiently as the Father unleashed all of his wrath and all of his anger and all of his fury for your sin and for my sin to die in our place. And then he waited patiently for 3 days in a tomb so that he could be raised to new life forever. This is the patience of Jesus and what he's done for you and what he's done for me. And so because God has been so patient with me, then I can be patient with others as well. In fact, when you say yes to Jesus Christ by faith, God gives you the person of the Holy Spirit who now lives inside of you. And look at what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Right? You know, if I was Paul, I mean, he's led by the Spirit, so this is perfectly the way it's supposed to do it. But if I was going to, I would put patience at the end. I'll make you wait for it, right? At the end of all the nine. But this is one of the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. Patience is the outflow of a Spirit-filled life. Impatience, rushing, throwing tantrums because things aren't going my way, is the sign of an immature life, of a flesh-led life. But patience is the outflow of a Spirit-filled life. And so in those moments when you start to feel your impatience and your anxiety rising and you want to rush and you want to force things forward, remember, first of all, that patience is a fruit of the Spirit in my life, but also remember God's patience towards you. He's been patient toward you, so kind, so good. In fact, one of the Psalms says this, that God is so patient that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. You realize that your sin deserves death, for you to die, for you to pay. That's what it deserves. My sin deserves for me to die, to pay for my sins. But he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He shows compassion. He shows mercy. In fact, that passage goes on to say that he treats us as a father treats his children, throwing their sins as far away as the east is from the west. Right? That this is who our God is. And so in those moments when you start to feel your impatience rising, ask the Spirit to remind you of God's patience towards you. When you feel your anxiety and your impatience rising, remember this. Remember that every person you meet is at different stages in their life. They're all at different stages, growing at different paces. Christina and I, we have 5 kids. 17, 15, 13, 10, and 2. I am learning patience, whether I want to or not, right? But here's what I've learned in raising kids from ages 17 to 2, that every stage, it does not matter, and everyone in between all require patience. It just looks a little different for each one. So for our 2-year-old, the patience is repeating things again and again, reminding her of that which is true, that which is acceptable, that which is unacceptable, right? We just keep going over the same things again and again. But for the 17-year-old, the patience is actually creating some space, allowing him to work through challenges and difficulties and to trust God in the process. Because he's got to learn how to walk with God on his own. He can't rely on my relationship with the Lord. He can't rely on his mom's relationship with the Lord. He's got to develop his own. And so it's the patience for him to work through things and navigate and negotiate all of those things. They're at different stages. They're growing at different paces. The same is true from a spiritual standpoint. There are some of your friends, some of your family members, they're not Christians, right? They're not thinking. You know what they need? They need an encounter with God. They need to hear the good news. That's very, very different than complaining about behavior. You know, I wish they would. Why don't they? Insert whatever. They need the good news. They need somebody to be patient with them, to walk them through who Jesus is, what he's done, what it all means. Some people are baby Christians, right? They're brand new. You're new to the faith. And there's so many things you don't know about God. And what you need right now is you need the patience of guidance. You need somebody to walk with you through the core things, right? And so the question with those people, it's like, okay, who do you know who needs repeated grace? They just need to experience God's grace through you again and again and again to remember that they're not loved based on their performance, but they're loved based on the character of God, and that God may actually show that through you. There are some who are hurting Christians. For some of you, 2025 has been the most challenging year you have on record. You have lost somebody meaningful to you. You have had a huge failure in your life. Your marriage has not gone the direction that you thought it was going to. You have faced some of the most difficult situations you never would have imagined that you would have gone through. And those people are at a stage in their life where, you know what they need more than anything? They just need care. They need somebody to be present. They need somebody to listen to them. They need somebody to pray with them. I had a friend of mine grab me this morning before the service and just share some really challenging news that he received and he's working through. My initial reaction wasn't to like give him proverbial thoughts to help him through his day. I just said, man, I am really sorry. Can I just pray with you right now? And I just asked God to show up in a real way. Now is not the time to give bumper sticker theology and tell people all the things they need to know that they don't know. Right now, they just need presence. They need the patience of somebody walking with them through the tough season of their life. And so instead of assuming where somebody's at, you can just take a moment to find out their story and show some patience and be patient with others the way that God has been patient with you. This is what Ephesians 4, verse 2 is saying. I want to read, this is our last passage for the morning. I want to read this out loud, starting with always be humble. Are you ready? Go. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. This is who God is. God's patient with you. Jesus is patient with you. And we can pass that patience on to others. Husbands, it's okay to be patient with your wives. It's a form of love. Wives, it's okay to be patient with your husbands. Parents, it's okay to be patient with your children. Children, it's okay to be patient with your parents as they're working through things, to be patient with your siblings. Because everybody's at different stages and different paces and going through different things, and so it's okay to live gentle, humble lives and to be patient with each other, making allowance for faults, because the love of Christ lives within us, and we can now give that away to others. And so because of God's patience towards me, I can be patient with others as well. You were created in God's image, same as Adam and Eve. You're created in his image. God is patient. And if you're a Christian, you've been born again, and you're being remade into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is patient. Right? 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Another 2,000 to get to where we are today. Right? You can become patient through the work of the Spirit in your life. And here's what I want to say. If you're not a born-again believer yet today, God is being patient with you, giving you time to receive his forgiveness and to receive his new life through faith in Jesus Christ. He is not interested in, he finds no joy in you facing eternal separation from him in hell. That doesn't bring him joy. He wants you to have life to the full. He wants you to have life now and forever. And so God has been patient with me to be able to share this with you today, that he loves you. He's not slow. He's not busy doing other stuff. He's working. He's drawing you to himself so that you'll say yes to him. And to make a decision to put your faith in him. Now, you can try to be more patient on your own, but it's not going to work. It won't have shelf life. You can try breathing techniques. You can try yoga. You can take long walks, and all that's fine, but that only gets you so far. The only way to become more patient the way that God is you have to have a new heart. And that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, letting the Holy Spirit transform your life. And so as your pastor this week, here's what I want to ask you to do as we're heading into a new year, growing in patience, taking next steps in regards to all of that. I want to invite you to spend time this week reading the Bible each day and just look at the character of God and let the Bible remind you of God's patience. In fact, there's a reading plan that we've created. It's on your connection card. Check that next step. We'll send that to you tomorrow. There should be a next step in the chat right now. You can sign up for that. We'll send you that reading plan tomorrow. It's a 1 week long that really focuses in on the patience of God. You might read that this week to let the Holy Spirit do a work in you. This week, the other thing I'd like to ask you to do is that when you start to feel the anxiety rise, when you start to feel the impatience rise, ask the Spirit to remind you of God's patience towards you. And ask him to keep changing your mind and your heart, to keep working in you and through you. And trust God's process. It's not all about the destination. God will get you there. It's actually about the journey. It's about walking with him hand in hand. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to go where he goes, to wait on him, to be patient, because God's working a much larger plan that we're all a part of and we're all included in. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We ask a question at the end of each teaching, and the question is simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want you to listen to him. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to pray, but I want to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. And as I say these words, if this resonates with you, if you mean that, I'm just going to ask you to just, you know, follow along silently in your own heart. But I want to pray this prayer for you and for us as a church family. God, I confess that at times I am far too impatient. I get bored easily. I get frustrated when things take longer than I think they should. When you're silent, sometimes I start to wonder if you're even there or if you even still care. But I know that you do care because the Bible tells me that you do. And I know that you have a plan and that you have a schedule that you're following. And you're never rushed, and you're never late, and you're never early, and you're never anxious. Everything is under your control. Teach me to trust you over myself. Teach me to trust you over my own plans and over my own perspective. Remind me this week of your patience for me. And help me to give your patience to others this week through the power of the Spirit. And when I feel anxious, teach me to choose how to love with patience. And thank you, Father, for being patient with me. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.